Hey, legends, you know, none of our interviews or episodes ever date, ever. They are all timeless and ready for you for when you're ready to listen. Download the lot and rip in. Fishermen and women, are you ready? It's on again. It's the best thing going too. The Pertec Fishing Challenge is back April 20 and 21. It is the country's largest fishing challenge for those with the competitive edge. But there's a kicker. All proceeds, yeah, all proceeds are donated to Pertec's key charity partners, Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia and the Peter Duncan Neuroscience Research Unit at St Vincent's Hospital. It's just $30 to register, and each registration receives a limited edition cap, a brag mat and a sticker. There's a prize pool of over $300,000, including three boats and a jet ski to be won. And you can win the major prizes just by registering. You don't even need to fish. Grab your mates, register today. Head to pertecfishingchallenge.com.au for more information. And even if you're not going to cast a line, you can make a difference, just like Pertec does. Welcome back to Andy Raymond Unfiltered. This is the Legend Series with Peter Tunks, Part 2. Enjoy.
So I signed on for decent money, nothing special. But in 85, I also got voted by the players the player of the tour for New Zealand, for Australia.
Yep.
And we won the Origin for the first time.
That's right.
And so the money wasn't good, but I wanted to be successful. I take success over money any day of the week.
And that you certainly were, yeah.
But the one thing is, and then we went in 86, that's the first time that Origin was ever, we won 3-0.
Yes.
And who did we play in the test series? Can't remember, but we got beaten in the grand final 4-2 by Parramatta.
Yeah.
You know, but like, I wouldn't play for nothing, but to be in a successful team.
Yeah.
You would do it.
You'd take less. Mate, the Dogs of War, the famous and the original Dogs of War, yourself, Peter Kelly, Billy Johnston, Jeff Robinson, Dave Gillespie, Brian Batiste, Mark Bugden. Special times and amazing physicality. Amazing.
Yeah, like I'm 6'3 and a half and I used to play at about 108, 110 kilos.
Okay.
But I was pretty much the biggest guy.
Yeah.
Like we weren't the big Steve Folks. You know, you look at Folksy.
Yeah.
Folksy played when I played New South Wales under 18s in 77.
Is that you played together there?
That was the first time I met him.
Wow.
But I met him. It's funny, you know, like after my first 2 years at Canterbury on fuck all.
Yeah.
Bullfrog wanted to get me to sign a new contract.
Yep.
So I went up there and I'm waiting for Bullfrog and he's about half an hour late. So Bullfrog kept all the contracts under the cushion in his seat. He had this massive office. He had a walk-in safe that like bigger than the bank.
Wow.
And he used to keep all the contracts under there. So this is like getting towards the end of the 85 season.
Yeah.
There's a couple of weeks to go. And I'm just sitting in his office, you know, and I'm getting so I thought, let me have a look at some of these contracts. So I got the contracts out from the cushion. So I've gone through it. So in 77 I played – under 18s for New South Wales. I played with Steve Folks.
Yep.
And he was a really nice bloke. He was a lovely bloke, Steve. And he married Bullfrog's daughter.
Yes.
So I'm going through the contracts, you know, and I'm on, what am I? I'm on about $8 and, you know, and I go through and Folksy and Kevin Moore had, Kevin was just finishing school.
Yeah.
And he'd played no representative honours or anything like that. And he'd signed a contract to come to Canterbury and Folksy. And I'm going through the contracts. And Folksy's contract had, if anyone comes to Canterbury on more money than Steve Folks, he immediately goes to this amount plus $5,000. So then I'm going through the – then I get to Kevin Moore. So Kevin Moore signed on from year 12.
Yeah.
Didn't play any rep football, junior league, blah, 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 blah. Kevin Moore, $95,000 a season. So that means that folks, he's on $100,000 a season. So I've just played 2 years, been voted the best player in the Australian touring side. We've won the both competitions, and I'm on 12 grand and four grand if I play 12 first grade games. But that's what the game was like back then.
Yeah.
It was very, very interesting. But gospel, and Folksy was a mate of mine because when we played under 18s for New South Wales, we became mates. He's a really lovely bloke, Folksy. And I'd go, I'm a smart ass, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd go, come here. I said, how much tax do you have to pay on 100 grand? And he started laughing, you know. He knew that I knew. Yeah, but I didn't know Kevin Moore, so I couldn't go near him because he was on the bench for the under-23s the next year on 95 grand. And, look, I could write a book on about every club and the corruption and everything like that. It was lovely fun.
Mate, there are stats for everything in this modern era. If you run hard and you tackle hard, you'll win most games. And the Bulldogs and the Eels sides of the mid-80s, I think, are proof of that. I think we complicate what is fundamentally a pretty simple game, and the Dogs of War and the Eels, I think, showed that. You ran hard, you tackled hard. Is that a fair call?
Yeah. Look, I'm saying this, and I mean it. Individually, Parramatta had us covered. But we had the best coach I've ever had in my life anywhere around the world in Warren Ryan.
Yep.
And that was the reason we were so successful. He was brilliant. In the 18s that I played for New South Wales, Jeff Bugden had played. He's a tremendous player.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what's happened. I think, well, you have a look at Mark and Jeff. I think Jeff was twins and he ate the other one before he came out. But you know, Jeff was he was a devastatingly tough, hard prop forward, you know. But if you can beat somebody like Parramatta for the premiership, you feel so much better about yourself because they are a team of champions. Like there's no weakness in their whole team, their bench or anything, their coaching. John Mooney, great coach. You know, when I was living in England and doing my business over there, John was at Wigan.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
What's your go-to Warren Ryan story? Is there something that stands out and makes you smile or makes you laugh? Because Warren is a different character to most and you've spent a lot of time with him.
Yeah, well, Warren, when I was living at Maroubra for the last 18 years, Warren only lives about a kilometre away from me.
Okay.
So, you know, I'd go and see him from time to time, but, you know, it was just – I just don't know why no one after he finished at Canterbury, because he was unbelievable. Look, I've had all sorts of coaches at first grade. I've had coaches at City Country, New South Wales, Australia, England. I've had – all the coaches with the best reputations.
Yeah.
If it was the Golden Slipper, Warren Ryan wins it by 3 lengths.
Because he went from the Bulldogs to Balmain and then into the media and really hasn't been picked up, has he?
No. But, you know, I don't know what goes on with everything, but Warren's very, very strong.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why he's so successful.
Yeah.
And I don't think that a lot of the clubs like to have the control. They don't like to get somebody with a very strong personality. And if I say this, this happens.
Yeah.
Because, you know. Oh.
Pete.
Wait, what, can I tell you one more thing?
Go.
We had to play that Origin game over in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So we go over there. We all knew what was going on with it. So all the board.
Yeah.
So we flew over there. So we're there for 5 or 6 days, I think. we're training in Los Angeles and blah, blah, blah. It was good to be there, but it was a bit weird, you know. And all the hierarchy, they were all went to Las Vegas to spend all our money. And I think they took some of their girlfriends. So, you know. So the thing is, like all the boys, we were really good mates, you know. Yep. Even though me and Block would have a fight every couple of games, we were good mates, yep. You know, like even though he's stupid but doing it. But we were finishing. See, we used to get $25 a day, and that was for your you used to get your accommodation and your breakfast. That was your lunch, your dinner, and anything.
$25.
$25 a day. And so we're coming back in. We're coming out from breakfast on the day. So all the board of directors and their female friends are booking in. They come over from Las Vegas and they're booking in. So we're walking past and we're all mates because we bash each other when we play against, but we're all good mates when we get together. And I think it was him. I could be wrong, but I shouted out because I'm a smart ass. Yeah. I can't help myself, you know. And he turned around and he said, "Tunksy, how are you, mate?" I said, "You're a champion, mate." I said, "Bringing your daughter all the way over to watch the game." Well, Gary Jack and all the other blokes, they just hit the deck. They just pissed themselves because they're all booking in with their wives that are about 35 years younger than them.
Oh, that is terrific.
You know, and they haven't been anywhere. They've been in Las Vegas, like spending our, like we're getting $25 a day, you know.
Trying
but
to live in so the States.
You can see why I made myself such good friends with all the officials, you know.
Yeah. Pete, very few people in the history of the game have a finals resume like you do. 13 finals games, 10 wins, 4 grand finals, 3 premierships. What are your standout memories from the grand finals, 84, 85, 88?
I think 88, look, Gus was the coach.
Coach. And you were the captain.
And he made me the captain, you know, because we all thought that Turvey was just going to, like, Turvey had his ups and downs, you know.
Yep.
And he was lucky because he had Terry Lamb with him, and Terry was terrific with Turvey. But Gus came in, and there had to be like you can't leave everything the way it is forever because it starts going downhill.
Yeah,
you know. So 87, we never made the five.
That's right.
So something had to happen. So look, I didn't know, but Gus made me captain, which I appreciate. We had to attack it all because you didn't get the respect because we'd had this terrific era and then we'd missed the five.
Yep.
And they said they're on the way down. So we had to start climbing up again, and it was hard work because, like I said to you before, you could be playing a side and they'd say, "Yeah, we had a shit year, but like we beat Canterbury or beat Parramatta, we're sweet, you know."
Yeah.
So To miss the five was terrible, but then you do have questions in your own head, you know. Are we all getting old? Are we getting on the way down? And it was a really good year, new coach, new attitude. And it was good for me to be captain.
Mm.
And it made me play a little bit differently because I didn't talk as much.
Yep.
I just did it. Said, "Follow me." You know,
okay.
You do. You have to do that if you're the captain. And everyone had written us off because we'd had 4 grand finals, won 3, got beat 4-2 in the fourth one.
Yeah.
And then we missed the five, and they think, "Oh, thank Christ, they're no good anymore."
They're
you
gone.
Know.
Yeah.
So it was us to prove it, and it was a terrific year. And you know, to play Balmain in the grand final, you know, and poor old Blocker just bashed somebody a couple of weeks ago, was suspended. I had to laugh about that. But
that's right. Your old sparring partner missed the game.
Yeah, that's what I mean, you know. But like,
I did one of these interviews with your teammate Terry Lamb, and we spoke about Ellery going missing as well.
Yeah. Well, I was good. Well, he fixed him up because, like, I lived when I went over. I was just going for 6 months. but I ended up staying.
When you went to the UK.
I ended up living there for 14 years, you know, playing and coaching and running clubs. And Ellery, in 87 in the off-season, after we never made the semis, I signed on for 6 months and I went over and captained Leeds.
Okay.
So I went over and it was great because Leeds is a great club, but they'd been underachieving for a number of years.
Yeah.
But the funny thing was, like, Wigan are right over in Lancashire.
Yeah.
Leeds are right in the middle of Yorkshire.
Yep.
Just down the road from me, Ellery Hanley's got this massive mansion and this, that and the other.
Wow.
And I got to know him a bit. He's a really good bloke. He's a terrific player.
Yeah.
Of course, unfortunately, something happened to him in the 88 grand final. I think someone threw a brick at him from the crowd or something. So that was very unfortunate. But, you know, things happen. And but he was one of the most outstanding athletes I've ever played against in my life. But a lovely bloke. And he lived about 400 yards from me when I was at Leeds.
Amazing coincidence, really. Who would you consider your fiercest rival, the guys that you particularly got up for or wanted to go head-to-head with? Who were the rivals, Tunksy, over your career, whether that was New South Wales Rugby League or Origin or for Australia? Fishermen and women, are you ready? It's on again. It's the best thing going too. The Pertec Fishing Challenge is back April 20 and 21. It is the country's largest fishing challenge for those with the competitive edge. But there's a kicker. All proceeds, yep, all proceeds are donated to Pertec's key charity partners, Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia and the Peter Duncan Neuroscience Research Unit at St Vincent's Hospital. It's just $30 to register and each registration receives a limited edition cap, a brag mat and a sticker. There's a prize pool of over $300,000, including three boats and a jet ski to be won. And you can win the major prizes just by registering. You don't even need to fish. Grab your mates, register today. Head to pertecfishingchallenge.com.au for more information. And even if you're not going to cast a line, you can make a difference just like Pertec does. I've got memories of you and Blocker for whatever reason.
But, like, it was hilarious. If someone had a microphone when we were rooming together, we were all roomed together when we were playing Origin, it was like I'd just be kicking him, you know. I'd say, you're an idiot, you know. But, like, we get on, but I said, when are you going to wake up yourself, you know? You punch me, you know, and then I'll punch you three times. And, you know, we're just arguing all the time. And we'd come down, but, like I am, like I have this problem with my personality where I'm a smart ass, you know, so I never ever let him get away with anything.
Nice.
Yeah, but like the thing is, like being in camp with the Origin, we had so much fun.
I bet.
The guys, you know, like every blue moon there might be one bloke that never fit in and everything like that, but all the other blokes were all nutcases, but, you know, we just had good fun. But it was funny, you know, because we'd be training and I'd be calling him names. And it
was funny. Front rowers, Boone, front rowers. Mate, you'd play 10 times for your country. I don't know why I have it in my mind, but did you pass up two kangaroo tours, 82 and 86 perhaps? You did. What was the reasoning there and any regrets?
Well, no, in 82 I was out. They'd already rang me and told me I was going on the kangaroo tour. And I was at a nightclub. We were just having some drinks, some of the boys, and there was some bloke there that I went for another club or something. He was drunk and he picked up a midi glass and he went whack and he hit me in the eye with it.
Ooh.
And I lost my temper and we had a fight and I bashed him and I bashed him very badly and I went back inside and I looked at the midi glass and it broke all jagged all around the glass, but the top never fell out and he hit me in the eye. So, like, if it had fallen off, I'd have lost my eye.
Yeah.
So I went outside and but it was finished. But anyway, at some stage in this little altercation, I kicked him in the head. when I went back and I came out and I kicked him, I ran and kicked him in the head.
Yeah.
And I broke about 6 bones in my foot.
Jeez.
So I had to pull out of the game on the weekend, and I don't know what I told him I did. And
yeah, you wouldn't have told him the truth.
No, I didn't. And then on Monday, it was on the back page of the paper, on the, you know, what everything
everyone
that happened.
Found out, did they?
Yeah. So I think Parker, like I can't remember who was the officialdom of the Kangaroo Tour back then, but they rang me up and they said, "Blah blah blah, you're not going on the Kangaroo Tour."
Wow.
And so then in '86. We'd won the comp in 84, 85.
Yep.
I'd played for Australia. And the one thing is you're going for 3 months.
Yeah.
So what I did, I rang up Bullfrog and I said, "Who's the shadow prop if I don't go?" And he said, "Paul Dunn. Paul Dunn lived with me at Coogee."
And teammate lived with you, yeah.
He lived with me. And so I went home. And I pulled Dunny and went down the shop and I just said, "Mate, I've got some good news." And he said, "What is it?" And I said, "You're going on the Kangaroo Tour because I've just pulled out." And I said, "I'm not going to charge you rent for 3 months." But
wow.
See, one of the reasons why I refused to go, what I told you before, you get $25 a day, you get accommodation, yep, breakfast, $25 a day. And when Paul came back, they went through an undefeated in 82 and undefeated in 86.
Yeah.
And I think 3 months after they got back, they got a check for $1,100 or $1,200. So how are you supposed to pay your rent or pay your mortgage or pay your car or support your family?
Keep in mind you're only on $12,000 a year at Canterbury at the time too.
No, what was that? That was 86. No, I'd been on better money because we'd won upgraded premierships.
Yep.
And see, at some stage, I don't know what they do or anything, but apparently I got voted the best prop in the world twice or yep, I don't know, something like that. But there, it was, you know, it was disgraceful, you know, like I could tell you a lot more. I'll do it another time.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I know. But you're over there, you're putting your body on the line, but you're leaving behind your wife and your kids, the bills, the food, the mortgage, the rent.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to live on $25 a day.
Yeah, that is
and
tough.
Like, you got to remember, I've run 3 clubs over in England. I lived there for a long time.
Yeah.
I had very in-depth conversations about what happened when the Kangaroos come over.
Mm.
I know exactly what they did.
Yeah.
And it was an absolute disgraceful thing because we had the best rugby league team in the world at that stage.
Yes.
And they're taking these blokes over there and giving them nothing.
Any regrets, mate, about
what for?
Missing either tour?
No.
Never looked back and thought,
well, I'm not going, why am I going? I couldn't I couldn't afford my rent, my mortgage.
Yeah, if you hadn't gone.
You know, I was living at Coogee then.
Mm.
I had a nice house at Coogee. And, like, how am I going to survive on $25 a day?
Yep.
You know, with 2 meals and your washing.
Yep.
But before you see, there'll be some people when they hear this, they'll be hiding under their desk very quickly.
I'm sure they will be. Mate, before we get ahead of ourselves, 85 and New South Wales first Origin series win, 86 and the clean sweep. How special are those memories?
It's a very, very special thing because, look, I was lucky to play test football. I could have played a lot more tests, but, like, it was a matter of principle with me why I did what I did.
Yep.
And I'm disgusted with the people that did it.
Yep.
And at some stage with you,
yep,
if you want,
yeah,
I'll tell everybody what really went on and let's see what happens. But it's the highest level that you can play. And
yeah,
to get there is terrific, but to get there and to win, look, I was really happy in, like, 86, we got beat 4-2 in the grand final, but we'd won 3-0 for 3-0. The first time ever. Yeah. And like some of those guys in Queensland, they were terrific players, yep. you know. But to if we could have won 3-0 and then won the grand final, would have been a great year. But
yeah.
it just gives you things you're trying to do all the time. But yeah. I was very, very lucky that I would look around in the dressing room and I would see some of the most fantastic players that you could possibly play with.
Oh, yeah.
But it's one thing being a fantastic player. A lot of fantastic players have got a bit of dickhead in them, and yeah. you know. But the thing is, we had a very, very good team at Canterbury and they were very good people.
Yeah.
You know, and that was very special.
A year after your third premiership and captaining the Dogs in 88, you were gone. Gone to Penrith. Why the move there? Is that just part of that, I guess, evolution that you're talking about? Players come and go?
No, Canterbury offered me nothing again, you know, so I'd had enough of that. So Gus was at Penrith.
Yep.
It's a long story, but I just thought, you know, I've had enough of this. You know, I'm getting towards the end of my career.
Yep.
I don't want to play for $8 again.
Yeah.
You know, so like I said, I suppose I could have been lucky. I could have been just playing under 23s like Kevin Moore and been on a fortune. But, Gus told me I signed a contract before I went there.
Yep.
And it was for very little money because Gus said, I'll sign you on for the contract. But halfway through, well, like when we start getting rid of the blokes, because he hadn't been there for long, but he was going to start moving on some of yep. the players and everything like that. And he said, you know, like halfway through the season, when I start getting rid of the blokes for the property, I'll get in and I'll give you the money that you should be on.
They'll bump you up.
But after a number of, it was about 4 weeks into the season, 4 or 5 weeks, I started feeling really bad. And I had hepatitis, glandular fever, and a kidney disease called nephritis. And I'm playing for fuck all, so I can't stop playing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm thinking, oh, this is terrific, you know. So just...
So physically you're just feeling like shit, obviously.
Yeah. Well, look, Gus and I fell out over that.
Okay.
You know, so I'll just leave it at that. But... I didn't appreciate the way that he handled the situation because, like, I could have gone to a couple of other clubs on very, very large money.
Yeah.
But things like that happen, yep. you know. So that's when I decided. So I had to wait till I got over that. So it took me about 3 months to get over the illness. I'd got no idea how I picked up those three illnesses at once, you know.
But was it the second time that you had caught glandular fever? Because I...
Yeah, it might have been, yeah. See, the one thing with diseases like that, when you're knocking around in a dressing room with 37 other blokes,
yep.
if someone's got the flu, you get it.
Everyone gets
every,
it, yeah.
You got something else, you know. I'd just gone up there. I just bought a house up at Penrith. I thought I'll do this right, you know, because I had a house at Coogee and then I had a house at Balmain and then I had a house at Penrith.
Yep.
And I'm on no money. It was ridiculous, but, you know, like I said, you know.
So this was 1990. You would move on. The Panthers would go on to make their first grand final. 12 months later, they win the premiership. Have you ever looked back and thought, I should have hung around, I missed out?
No.
Or don't you think like that?
The one thing that I don't do, I don't look backwards.
Love that, mate.
I don't look backwards, you know. Yeah. Like, you have good luck, you have bad luck, you know. Just move on, just keep walking.
Yeah.
You know, get a bus, get a taxi, just move on and look forward, you know, because you can't do anything about it.
Is that just in footy or is that in life? Is that just Peter Tungs?
That's everything I do.
Yeah.
They're, you know, I know lots of people that sort of, you know, they... I could dwell on it and I'd end up going around and bashing somebody, you know.
Yeah.
You know, just... walk away.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of things in my football career that I am going to tell you
yeah.
in the next couple of times that we get together
yeah.
and there's going to be people hiding under their bed because they will get arrested for this It's an absolute fucking disgrace how we got treated back in my era. The money that they siphoned off and what we got and what we never got for putting our bodies on the line. Like over the years, of course, I was gone for such a long time.
Yeah.
I was 14 years in Great Britain. And I come back and I've seen blokes. I know that there's blokes in convalescent homes wearing a nappy.
Yeah.
There's blokes that can't walk, they can't drive a car and this, that and the other. And if these people think that it's okay for them to rip them off like they did back in our era, they can go and get fucked.
Has the ripping off stopped? In the, you know, I guess an age of technology, has the technology limited, you know, the cash movements and what they can do? Or is it perhaps just as bad, even worse?
It still goes on.
Still goes on?
Yes.
You came out post-career, Pete, it was probably 8 or 9 years ago, and spoke about match fixing. And the NRL was in the middle of investigating two clubs independently. And the last I recall of it was, I will talk to Peter, or the police will talk to Peter, and we'll get a better version of what happened. Do you stand by your comments, and did anything ever happen?
Of course I do.
You do? Did anything ever happen? Did anyone officially speak to you?
No, not officially, unofficially.
Yeah. Pete, what are you most proud of as you look back on the journey, mate? Because it's been an amazing journey as a player, as a coach, as a winner, as an administrator, as a media commentator. You've had a role for 40-something years. What do you look back on and say you're proud of?
Oh, well, look, while you say that, I used to call the Saturday rugby league game for Granada TV over in England when I was running teams. You know,
yeah.
I'd coach, we'd play on the Sundays, but I used to call the Granada games on Saturday.
There you go.
But it's been good. It's been to see the world. It's pretty special. But I'm hoping that I've got a number of years left to do some other things. But I was disappointed when I got custody of my children and I came back. But, you know, I went to the South Juniors and coached a team there for a long time. And like, you know, I built a very, very good relationship with Matcherville Sports High School.
Yep.
So there's all the sports high schools all over the East Coast now. So now that my kids have grown up and they've done what they've done, and now I'm not doing my radio and everything like that, I'm looking to see if there's possibly one of the jobs, because, you know, like I said before, like I'm level 4 coach.
Yeah.
I've been a CEO of Super League clubs in England. I've been a managing director. I've been at lots of levels. So maybe there might be something that I could fall into.
So you're still a footy guy. You still love it.
Yeah, I love it. I've missed it, you know, even just doing the 2SM job, you know. I used to do a lot of work, you know. You have to work, you do 32, 35 hours a week because you got to watch all the sport for a talkback.
Yeah.
But, it's a great sport and it's terrific. And I can't believe that some of the other countries around the world haven't decided to take it on.
In 1976, you left rugby union to come to rugby league with a goal of you wanted to get out of housing commission in South Maroubra. You look back now, you certainly accomplished that.
I think I'll try and be a board member.
Dunksy, 233 NRL games, well over 300 first-class games all up. Way too many tries for a prop forward and a guy who boasts one of the most spectacular resumes the game has ever seen. Off the field with a reputation and as a straight shooter, honest and loyal. I watched you from afar in your prime. It has been a pleasure sitting down for a chat with you in the present. A little bit of a walk down memory lane. Peter Tunks, thank you. You, sir, are a legend.
Thank you very much. It's been great speaking with you, mate.
The best footy and life talk there is. I hope you enjoyed this edition of the Legend Series. The Rugby League Super Pod comes out later in the week and the Dream Team Series on a weekend. 4 podcasts every week in season on the only podcast that talks with the game's biggest names, not about them. Now, isn't it about time you left that 5-star rating and review? Make sure you come back soon, legends.